Thank you. That is one of my favorite songs. It's hard to be emotional now as I'm supposed to give the message, but thank you so much. Before we go into our message, maybe just take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, Jesus, our Savior, Holy Spirit, Triune God, thank you for being with us right now. In these moments, we pray, God, as we listen now to your word and the message, that these would be the words we are meant to hear this morning, and that your presence would be tangible and felt in real ways. Open our hearts and our minds, our eyes and our ears to hear what you would have us hear today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. I'm Pastor Carrie, and today, as Pastor Adrian said, we are continuing our sermon series here at River Park Church on identity, finding our story in God's story. Our scripture passages come from both the Old and New Testament, starting in Genesis and then the Gospel of Mark. We'll read in these passages both God and Jesus naming and blessing Sabbath rest. Blessing it as holy, necessary, and something we are commanded to create space for in our lives. At its core, Sabbath rest invites us to experience connection. And that's what we're going to unpack and talk a little bit more about today. Before we read our passages, I want to share with you something I learned recently about rest. It's a fantastic word to describe one of my favorite things to do on weekends or when my family and I are at the trailer. It's called herkel-derkel. Has anybody else heard this fantastic word? Herkel-derkel is a real thing. The origin of this lovely phrase dates back to the 1800s in Scotland, and it means to lie in bed or lounge about long after one should be up and about, according to the Dictionary of the Scots. If you haven't tried it, I highly recommend you herkel-derkel. In a fun way, this idea points to the broader understanding of Sabbath rest. Apart from seeing it as just one day a week, it becomes a way of life that's interwoven into the everyday moments of our lives. When we think of rest on its own, like herkel-derkel, we often think of something that seems passive, a way of numbing out from the world. Sabbath rest is actually quite active as we cultivate space for relationship and connection with God, neighbor, and self. As we look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, we read, "So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. God's creation was complete, and God declares things good, blessing the creatures and humans in the chapter that precedes this, and now here, blessing the rest itself, declaring it sacred. In light of God's blessing of Sabbath, both Christians and Jewish people set aside a day of the week that is holy for rest, prayer, worship, family, and other cultural traditions. In Jesus' time, Sabbath was something the Jewish leaders monitored and were quite strict about. In fact, there were at least 39 laws around the types of activities that were not allowed on the Sabbath day. And we see this play out in our next passage from Mark chapter 2, where Jesus is having a discussion with the Pharisees about the Sabbath. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath?" Jesus said to them, "Haven't you ever read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God during the days when Abiathar was high priest and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests were allowed to eat. He also gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath." Although the Jewish leaders here believe that Jesus and his disciples are breaking the law, as harvesting grain would have been considered working on the Sabbath day of rest, Jesus responds by bringing us back, helping us to remember what Sabbath rest was originally intended to be. He says it was made to meet the needs of people and not something to be earned. Rather, something that is embedded in the natural rhythm of creation and God's creatures. Now, I'm old enough to remember when most things other than churches were closed on Sundays. I don't know if anyone else is old enough to remember that. I think you could still go to restaurants because I remember having brunch after church sometimes with my family. But you couldn't just go to the local grocery store or pharmacy. Most things were closed. Growing up, this idea of Sabbath was very much embedded into the rhythms of life. It wasn't until I moved to Calgary in 1998 and was working in retail that I had to start asking for Sundays off. It was then that I recognized Sabbath didn't just happen. It was something I needed to be intentional about. If I wanted to keep the Sabbath rhythm that my family, church, and community had instilled in me. A friend was sharing with me this week that if her family had not made it a rule to not watch TV on Sundays, she wouldn't have had the same family time that those intentions provided. Instead of watching TV, her and her family would play board games between church services, and these times of Sabbath rest continue to be a source of comfort for her today. In our passages this morning, we read about a God who invites us to watch and listen as we are shown this rhythm of life that has been there since the beginning of creation. Embedded into our identity, created to share in this Sabbath rest as something needed rather than something earned. As Pastor Kara Root writes, "God does not create for the sake of creating. God creates to enjoy and relate and connect. Made in the image of God, we are drawn into the rest of God, in fact, commanded to participate in it, in order to remember who God is and who we are outside of what we do to keep things going." Genesis 2 does not say, if we work hard, then we will earn our Sabbath rest. Jesus did not come to eradicate the law, but fulfill it. Rather than a legalistic obligation, Sabbath is a gift of God. And this gift reminds me of the teacher's words in Ecclesiastes as he's searching for the meaning of life. He writes, "I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God." And maybe today we might say happiness is Herkel Dirkling. Now, although Sabbath rest is a gift of God, it's a part of our creation, it's a part of who we've been created to be and how we connect with our Creator, that doesn't mean it comes naturally to us. When God created the world, and things were complete, rather than just a moment for God to take a break and chill, Sabbath is an intentional rhythm that creates space for connection. And although God may be limitless, we are not. No matter how big our capacity to work hard and accomplish a lot, we are human and not God. We do have limits, and maybe God knows that. Now, this was certainly a new thought for those listening to Jesus then, and it may be a new thought for those of us listening to Jesus today. Being intentional rather than seeking to earn Sabbath also becomes challenging when our North American culture praises the doer and the person who pushes through at all costs. The reward for the hard work is success, not rest. This sleep when we're dead mentality often perceives rest as weakness, laziness, a waste of time, or at least something that is earned instead of something that is needed. There is nothing wrong with hard work or digging deep during seasons of our life. Alongside the rest, we see this in the person and work of Jesus. Yet, in our humanity, it's rarely sustainable. We are not limitless. And the consequences of living as though we are is evident throughout the world, in our churches, and in our own lives. With humanity's mental and physical and spiritual health fractured, fragile, and riddled with disease. Whether we're talking about Sabbath as a holy day set apart each week or Sabbath rest as a way of life, both invite us to consider something countercultural and maybe even counterintuitive. As Walter Brueggemann writes in his book, Sabbath as Resistance, saying no to the culture of now, he says, we used to sing the hymn, take time to be holy, but perhaps we should be singing, take time to be human, or finally, take time. Sabbath is taking time, time to be holy, and time to be human. Now, as a bit of an aside, because I find this stuff very fascinating, not only our identity, but who we've been created to be, actually how we've been created as humans, reflects this need for Sabbath rest. We were created with two nervous systems, the sympathetic and the parasympathetic, and these nervous systems have contrasting roles. The sympathetic nervous system sends signals to your brain that put your body and mind on alert. This is our survival mode. We need this so we don't just walk out into traffic. Instead, we aim to stay alive in a very primal sense. On the other hand, the parasympathetic nervous system sends signals to the brain that it's okay to rest. Both systems aim to bring balance to the body. And new research shows that 80% of the information sent to our brain comes from the body. So if you take a deep breath, your body is sending a signal to your brain that it's safe and it's okay to rest, even if it's just for as long as it takes to take a deep breath. If we're stressed and we're always on high alert, focused on the work that needs to get done, it stands to reason our minds are paying the price, both individually and collectively. Rather than neglecting one over the other, the systems of the body were created to work together for the flourishing of the whole system. We are created for work and service, and we are created for Sabbath rest. Now, as nice as Sabbath rest sounds, this is not easy stuff. In fact, a lot of the time, it can feel impossible. There is so much to do, many pressing needs in our world, churches, and communities. If I don't do the work that needs to be done, and you don't do the work that needs to be done, then who's going to do it? For so much of my life, I have lived as a doer with these feelings that Sabbath rest was a nice thought. I don't know if a preacher's allowed to, or pastor's allowed to say that, but I'm going to be really honest here. Sabbath was something I knew I definitely needed, but I could not afford it. Time is too precious and the needs are too great. And if I'm really honest, I started to believe that the more I could do, especially in the name of Jesus, then the more I'd be loved and accepted and really making an impact in God's kingdom. This way of thinking and being in the world accomplished many things, but it also came at a cost. Mentally and emotionally, I was riddled with anxiety. Physically, my body got sick. And spiritually, I was depleted. I could point to God's goodness and faithfulness in other people's stories, but I was too busy to see what was going on in my own. In July of 2020, through a cancer diagnosis, I was forced into Sabbath rest, although I didn't know it at the time, and I certainly would not have called it that. What I do remember is going to my employer and very logically and seemingly in control saying, I'll have surgery in August and I'll start looking at gradually coming back to work in the fall. That didn't happen. It would be 8 months before I could even consider these gradual steps back. Nor was I going back as the same person, as though nothing had happened, and somehow I could just start off where I had left off. I could have done that, of course, but then I wouldn't be up here sharing a message on Sabbath with you this morning. Instead, I would have gone back to the cycle of anxiety and illness I was creating and thought Jesus was expecting of me. God did not give me cancer so I could experience Sabbath rest. This is not about condemnation. It's an invitation to be human and to know yourself loved as human. It's an invitation to rest with the one who is holy. Whether we do the work we think is needed or not, if it's something that God wants to get done, it's going to get done with the people he chooses. We will never let God down by going to the feet of Jesus first, whether that's literally stopping or actively doing Sabbath rest in the midst of life and what is going on. In Sarah Burns Crosby's prayer, What If God?, she wonders about many things. And one of the questions she asks, I think, gets at the heart of what we're talking about today. Halfway through the prayer, she asks, what if God desires my presence and my rest even more than my obedience and selflessness? I'm just going to pause and let us kind of let that sink in. What if God desires my presence and my rest even more than my obedience and selflessness? When I first read this prayer and these words in particular, I wept. This very much sums up the journey Jesus and I have been on for the past 4 years. And it has taken a great deal of intention to learn and move towards living this way of life. I have resisted it. I've justified the busyness. I've gotten angry at the process of change, even pleading with God, give me more capacity to do more. And each time God's answer to me is the same. And feel free to insert your own name here as it feels appropriate. Carrie, you know what I love even more than all these good things that you're doing? I love you. And what if what you're doing, especially in my name, isn't something transactional but relational and lived out from this place of connection? What if this way of being is lighter than the long list of expectations you've put on yourself, some real, some perceived, even the ones you think are from me? Whew, this is hard stuff. Thank you for being vulnerable with me today. What God keeps asking me to consider, and maybe he's asking this of you too, what would it look like being with me? First and foremost, God is not saying that the ways I or any of us work and serve is wrong, but it's about ordering. And a reordering. What is being prioritized? And is it still serving you, God, or anyone else at this time? Or is the quieter space of Sabbath rest what is needed right now? Time for discernment and decision making. Time for listening and being heard. Time to pause from the doing and learn to be as God has ordained and created you to be. This is true individually and collectively. often in our state of anxiousness, things become blurry and confusing. When we slow down, catch our breath, calm our hearts and minds, we see things in ways we wouldn't have. In both the gifts and challenges, we start to notice the ways our story is interwoven in God's story and vice versa. And more good news. God in Jesus not only invites us into this radical way of life, but shows us what Sabbath rest looks like. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, we read Jesus saying, "Are you tired? Worn out? Burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." If this feels like a radical shift like it did for me, start small. Maybe it's when you first wake up in the morning. Before you jump out of bed to keep things going, first just say hi to the day. Say hi, God. Hi, self. Maybe ask for a blessing. Sensing a connection and that you're not alone. Just a moment of Sabbath can grow into many moments and maybe even seasons. Maybe you enjoy a time of devotion each day. Is there a way this can be more about presence and rest than about obedience and selflessness? What would that look like in your story? Maybe you're ready to consider practices like meditation and prayer. I'd invite you to check out Pastor Carrie online, where you'll find many practices to help you bring you into this place of rest and connection. Maybe you've been wondering about setting aside a day each week to commune with God and others, to unplug, worship in community and with family. Honestly, I'm going to say there's no right or wrong, because Sabbath rest is an ongoing invitation to walk with Jesus and watch how he does it, a place of deepest connection as you rest in the arms of your Creator. In closing, I'm going to read the whole prayer, "What If God?" And I invite you to close your eyes or follow along with me, as the words will be on the screen. And if you find yourself shedding a tear or two as we pray together, that's completely okay. This is a safe space. We can do that here. There are copies of the prayer right here. So if you feel like this is something you'd like to incorporate into your Sabbath rest this week, please feel free to take one. Now, collectively bringing to God our presence and rest, may we pray. What if God doesn't want as much from me as God wants for me? What if God wants to love me more than to use me? What if God likes the way I was made? What if God wouldn't have me any other way? What if God isn't mad or mean? What if God is exceedingly compassionate toward my needs? What if God expects less of me than I expect of myself? And what if God isn't comparing me to anybody else? What if God cares more about who I become than what I believe? And what if God invites me to trust myself and be who I was created to be? What if God desires my presence and rest even more than my obedience and selflessness? What if God is curious about how I feel? What if God asks where it hurts and if I want to be healed? What if God delights in my desires and dreams and doesn't intend to take them away from me? Yes. What if God is better than I ever knew? What if I'm deeply loved the whole way through? What if there's nothing to earn and nothing to prove? And what if that's absolutely true for you too? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before we go into our closing song, we're going to stand for our blessing as we now take this Sabbath rest out into the world. And so I ask you to stand. Perfect. I'll come out here. And now please receive God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace, Sabbath, and rest. This day and forevermore, amen.